if you can, please share your career journey and how you got to where you are today.
So I started my career 24 years ago in the event space. I was a graphic designer by trade, and I remember going for my first interview really excited, and I saw about 5 computers in the studio, so I thought I was going to be joining this huge studio. And then day one of me starting my job, it turned out I was the only designer in that studio. So, you know, I panicked at the time, but in hindsight, it was the most incredible thing to get thrown into the deep end, because it was a case of sink or swim. I used to look back in old invoice books that had that carbon paper to see how to contact a printer and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And I really had no one to compare myself to, which I have learned throughout my career is a superpower, because you then set your own goals and try better yourself every time. I then moved from there into the advertising world. Mm-hmm. And you thoroughly enjoyed that space. South Africa then went through a recession, and my boss at the time said to me, in order for me to get the salary that I needed, he'd be comfortable if I did some freelance work. So I freelanced and worked, and slowly my freelance work started, you know, kind of overtaking my capacity. So I went on my own. And when I went on my own, I started renting space with my husband's company at the time. Mm-hmm. And we shared office space. And what I noticed was happening is that every time a supplier came in or a client, they would immediately go to my husband's office. And I just couldn't understand this narrative, because we had 2 beautiful businesses in their own right. And I started seeing this perception of women in business, age and women. I used to even pay a male friend of mine to come to meetings with me, because I would find that the buy-in would be so much greater with him sitting in the room. He wouldn't really even contribute to the conversation, but him being there. And this really infuriated me, to be honest. So I sat in a space going, how can I actively change this in a beautifully positive way? Yeah. And I set out to build an all-female agency. And that is what I did. And 15 years later, a beautifully strong all-female agency that I sold last year to 2 women in the business who worked their way up and did incredibly well and bought it through a management buyout. So it's a beautiful success story of, you know, doing the grind and the success at the end of it.
That's fantastic to hear. I mean, you identified a problem and provided a fantastic solution. So speaking now of the solution, can you tell us a little bit about your experience at JAW, and, you know, if you can dive into what does this entity seek to provide to the market?
100%. So JAW is the agency that I built, and it was one of the greatest privileges of my life. It's an agency that runs from today, servicing clients globally, through the line marketing campaigns. So anything coming up with strategies for a client, could be internalizations, could be through the line, right down to the very last implementation. Mm-hmm. And it's a female complement, but we do have amazing partnerships that have been built over the last very many years. And I think that is what has made the business shine so strongly in how it treats its suppliers, and the relationships that we have pride in those partnerships. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm most proud of in the business is the culture. So much so that I ended up writing a book based on my experiences in JAW. Mm-hmm. Because I saw how treating people with kindness and empathy, it's good business that results in good business, because by doing good, it's actually good for your bottom line as well. And we had a culture at JAW where if you needed to take your kids to the doctor, it's not this sort of feeling that you have to be apologetic for life that was around in my generation. You know, it's an era of accountability and responsibility, and not clock watching, where you're not a seat warmer. It's based on your deliverables, not on your hours. And I think it's a very necessary way to think in today's climate. So I would say that's one of my biggest pride points from JAW.
100%. That's fantastic to hear. And in your experience now with you know, creating this entity to support female entrepreneurs, what are some common challenges you have noticed that female entrepreneurs face in the industry?
Many. I don't know. Have you seen that the movie that's on at the moment called Ladies First with Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yes, yes.
It's an absolutely comical take on a very, very real problem. Mm-hmm. And I urge anyone to just watch that movie, have a laugh, but to see what females actually deal with in business. I feel because of all of that, there's a confidence issue, not a capability issue. Mm-hmm. Men are taught that they, you know, you can start before you feel ready because they've got that inherent confidence, where women frequently wait too long to start because they overthink everything and they don't have that confidence. So my advocacy would be say, come on, you know, get in there, get started because you have the capability. And I believe that women have such an invisible burden where they, you know, working in business, you're managing households, children, caregiving responsibilities and community expectations, that there's so much more to carry that you often have this weight that is not seen by your employers.
Yeah.
And there's so much more that you have to balance. And the minute you allow women to handle all of it with equal weight when the time arises, you get the best out of those employees. Instead of seeing it as a challenge, you know, that that females take maternity leave and those sorts of situations. Running an all-female business, of course those are challenges that come up. But those are things that make women have superpowers in business, that nurturing side, that mm-hmm. empathetic side, that ability to run a household and juggle a gazillion balls is an absolute superpower in business.
100%. And Jenny, you said you've been in business for around 2 decades now, and some of
yep.
these challenges and stereotypes you've been mentioning, do you think any of these have changed or improved over the years?
They've definitely improved over the years. I would be remiss to say that they haven't, but I still think that there's a lot of a learning to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in my own family thinking. I see it in my community. I see it in my own business, in my experiences with clients and how we are dealt with. There's still a lot of previous learnings that we have to unlearn yeah. in order for things to change for the next generation.
100%. But it's good to hear that some progress is at least being made.
Definitely, yes.
So back to Jo, can you share one of your favorite success stories from a female entrepreneur or colleague that you've helped over the years?
So while I was going through the process of selling Jo and after Jo, I've built a platform called The Good Businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And what that platform does is it helps people in any business space how understand how, like I said, doing good can be good for business, how to lead to create a great team. And I wrote a book called Feeding Unicorns. And if I were to talk about a success story, it would be based on that, because I wrote that book using my lived experience. I didn't start out, I spoke about how I started out as a graphic designer. I didn't start out as a business mind, mm-hmm. you know, who wrote this book. I've written a book based on my lived experience of the challenges in going from a freelancer to a business owner, in growing organically into your role. And in Africa, you know, we have so many people who follow that same journey that I have.
Yeah.
So I wrote this book, Feeding Unicorns, and I've always asked people for their feedback. And one lady contacted me and she said she's the head of finance at a massive company in South Africa. And she read two books. She read Lead In by Sheryl Sandberg and she read Feeding Unicorns by me,
mm-hmm.
Jenny Campbell. And she said that what she got from Lead In was the confidence to go for what you want and to believe that you can make it happen and to kind of push forward while you're learning. And what she got from Feeding Unicorns was how to treat her team and how to use empathy as your superpower and kindness and think about all the different aspects of your employees, their personalities, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, they love languages, how to harness that and lead. And within 4 months of her reading the book and implementing the strategies that I'd set out, she said that it was absolutely phenomenal, the changes that they started seeing. Staff turnover in her department over that next year was the lowest in the entire business.
Mm-hmm.
People, the mood has changed to the point that it changed leveling up, not just the people she managed, but it changed to her CFO.
Yeah.
Where the leaders above her wanted to start emulating her behavior. Mm-hmm. So there was this ripple effect from her actions that was no longer leading down, but leading up.
Yeah.
And that's incredible to see actual change happening. And that's what was a beautiful pride point for me, because there were very actionable steps in the book. And she took the time to send me a message going, I need to thank you because I took this to heart. I've implemented, I've made it highlights and sticky notes, and I've got your book next to me at my desk, and I live it. And since then, she's ordered a bunch of copies for everyone in the leadership role in her business because she believes in it so much. So I would have to say that's my favorite success story.
No, that's fantastic. And it's a testament to, you know, they say positivity is contagious.
100%.
And, on the continent, the importance of the SME sector is well known, but I want to hear from you if you can, go into detail about how important it is for women in particular to be involved in the SME sector.
Definitely. It's absolutely critical. You know, women make up around 58% of Africa's self-employed population and contribute approximately 13% of the continent's GDP. You know, I was doing some research the other day, and it shows that women reinvest up to 90% of their income back into their families and communities.
Oh, wow.
It could be through education, health, nutrition. So, you know, if you think about it very simply, when you support a female entrepreneur, the impact rarely stops with them. It's going to be impacting families, communities, education, health, nutrition far beyond. If they are reinvesting 90%, imagine the impact.
Exactly.
So 100% we should be driving the force to support female entrepreneurs in Africa.
100%. And for any women listening, particularly young women that are listening to this right now, who have thoughts about joining the sector, what words of advice would you give to them?
Start. You might not feel ready. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about aptitude and attitude. And aptitude is, do you have the right brain for the job? Not do you have the right skill? Skill can be learned. If you have internet access and you can learn from YouTube and you can, you know, skill can be learned, but aptitude, do you have the right thinking and do you have the right attitude? If you have a positive attitude, you're willing to put in the hard work and learn. That means you are ready, the aptitude and the attitude, and you go for it. You can't wait until you know everything, because you'll never be able to start, because you'll never know everything.
Okay.
So just be curious, ask questions, find people who know more than you do, and learn as quickly as you can and stay humble.
Exactly, exactly. And now my last question for you, speaking of finding people who know more than you, how important is it for an upcoming female entrepreneur to have a female mentor that they can learn from?
I think mentors are incredibly valuable, but I wouldn't say that they have to be female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I built a female agency and I really wanted to empower women in the industry, but I'm definitely, that doesn't mean I'm anything anti-men.
Mm-hmm.
And they're incredible male entrepreneurs that you can learn so much from. So I believe finding a mentor is incredibly valuable just as that. But I think what matters most is, above a mentor, is also finding people who genuinely want to see you succeed and are willing to tell you the truth and help you get there. You know, having someone tell you what you should do versus networking and starting to find people who can help open doors for you, it's a very different thing.
Yeah.
And when you get into a space where you have met people who will openly mention your name in a room that you're not in, and say, you know what, I know a person who'd be great for this role. And they contact you and they, you know, network, expand your community, your business community, so that you are mentioning other people's names and helping them and they are helping you. Because there's enough work for everyone if we are open to sharing. And I find that because in the entrepreneurial space, it's so terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You start feeling selfish with any, you know, contacts that you have.
Yeah.
But when I say there's enough work, I know it's an extremely challenging work climate, but for entrepreneurs, there's enough if you are going out there and finding it, making the work. So building a community where people want to mention your names, that is where you're going to win. And you do the same for them. So, you know, use LinkedIn, go to events, and build your network. That is going to be an absolute driver.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself.